to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. The book of Acts, chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word, we'll begin reading in verse number 41. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given it to us. And I pray today that we would heed thy instructions from it. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to be upon not only the message, but the messenger. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said. And help us to hear what must be heard. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be changed, Lord, by thy Spirit, by thy Scriptures. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on the kind of church everyone needs to belong to. The kind of church everyone needs to belong to. I believe the most important part of any church or any family or anybody's life is the local church. Every community deserves the privilege of having a local New Testament Baptist church. As we look in the Bible, we have an understanding of what the church is all about. But we're living in a day, it's a sad day, I believe, as many churches are dying, they're closing the doors, they're compromising the truth in order to stay open or to grow. And sometimes they feel the only way to survive is to give in and to give up and to just compromise. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, as he asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they gave him certain answers. Some say that thou art Elias. Others say John the Baptist. And you know, then he asked the question, "Whom say ye that I am?" As he was talking to his disciples. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he said this, "And I say unto thee, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So the Bible teaches us that upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon who Christ is, upon when it says, "I say unto thee, upon this rock," upon what you have just said, Peter, upon this bold statement that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon what you have just said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, this morning I am convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is the church builder. Amen? He is the one that is to be building the church. He did not say, "I will build your church, you will build my church." Jesus said, "I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church." So I am convinced of this today, that if we will do what the Bible teaches us to do, Christ will build his church. We do not need the gimmicks of the world. We do not need the entertainment of the world. We do not need to compromise with the world. We need to stand firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the Word of God. And as we think about it today, I believe God's going to take care of all the things that lie ahead of us if we will continue in the Word of God. Upon this rock I'll build my church. So, as we think about it, just what is this New Testament church everybody needs to belong to? What are some attributes of it? What are some of the things that we need to think about? And this is the kind of church that everybody should be a part of. First of all, they should be a part of a preaching church. It's hard to talk about this because we just had a Sunday school lesson on it this morning. I've already said a whole lot about it, but I want you to look with me here in Acts chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 14. Notice some things with me. The Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant, and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of that patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So when we talk about a church being a preaching church, what is it we're to preach? Well, first of all, we're to preach God's word. Amen? That's what they were doing. That's what Peter was doing on this glorious day as he was standing before the people of God. They didn't have all the books of Colossians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philemon. And they didn't have 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. What did they have? They had the Old Testament, didn't they? They had God's Word. And Peter stands up on this day and he begins to thunder forth what God has given to him. So we need to preach God's Word. You know, a church that doesn't preach God's Word is not preaching at all. Now, I'll say it again. Maybe you didn't hear me. A church that does not preach God's Word is not preaching at all. If we're not preaching God's Word, then what is it that we're preaching? And there's so much going on in churches today that people are flocking to. And dear friend, it's not the kind of church that they need. It's not the kind of church. We need the truth of God's Word. Amen. Look at it. Think about it. He stood up and he talked about what Joel had to say. He goes over and he's read what David had to say. And he's preaching about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is preaching God's Word. And dear friend, if I preach anything other than God's Word, kick me out. You should, shouldn't you? We don't need anything but God's Word. Preach God's Word. Not only God's Word, we see, preach the gospel, which is part of God's Word. You say, why are you differentiating? Well, the gospel has to be preached. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, right? But all God's Word has to be preached. All of God's Word is not the gospel, but it all points to the gospel. So we understand that. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 22 of Acts chapter number 2. Ye men of Israel, now Peter's still preaching. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Then go to verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God, our Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We find in the Bible that if we're going to be a kind of church that everyone needs to belong to, first of all, we're to be a preaching church. What is it that we're to preach? We're to preach God's Word. Just like Peter was preaching about what the prophet Joel had to say, and like Peter was preaching about what David had to say. Now, we have all the Bible, and we're to preach God's Word. We're to preach the gospel of God's Word, and the Bible teaches us right here, as Peter was relaying to these people, as he was heralding forth the truth, he was teaching them about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that Christ brought for all those that put their faith in him. Then they that heard the word, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So we understand that there is a life-changing message in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that can save us than the blood of Christ. That he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again. I want you to notice what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 15 as Paul was writing to the church at Rome. He said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want you to understand today that we must preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to stand and tell you that my Savior died on the cross and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day and that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friends, if you're putting your faith in anything else to get to heaven, you're on your way to hell. If you're putting your faith in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, then hell's going to be your home. The gospel says that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Look, we're going to be judged by the gospel. Do you understand that? We're going to be judged by the Word of God, by the truth, by whether we know Christ as our Savior, and then as we know Christ as our Savior, by our obedience to the Word of God. Now, I must help you to understand this. I'm going to preach the Bible. We're a preaching church. We're a church. The primacy here is preaching. Now, we have good singing. But if singing comes to the forefront, then I want you to know we cease to be a New Testament church. Preaching has to have the top priority. And as we think about this, I want you to get a hold of this. I'm going to preach the truth of God's Word. I'm going to preach the gospel. And I want you to understand that what I say to you, if it lines up with the Bible, you're held accountable for it. You say, well, I'll just stay home, and then that way I won't be held accountable. Then you're going to be held accountable for not coming and receiving the instruction. Look, we have one life. One life. And we need to live it for Christ. And you need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I listen to preaching a lot. I've got CDs. I've got all kinds. Man, I listen to it. I need it. You know, I need it more than you need it. I'm telling you, I do. I need it a lot more than you need it. I must need it a whole lot more than some of our members because they're never here, right? I'm not talking about you. You're here. So I'm not talking about it. I'm just saying, some, you know what? I thought we ought to call the police and put out an APB on some of our members. We was trying to go through the records and find all the different things and get everything lined up. And well, there's people on there that probably haven't been here in years, you know? Isn't that a sad statement? It's a sad testimony to think that people don't know the Lord, that people that say they know the Lord don't come to the house of God. People that don't, I've got to preach these things. I have to preach God's word. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Don't we need to be a preaching church? Do you want somebody to stand up here and give you a little talk? Look, we can take the pulpit out, and I can bring in a little step stool or a little bar stool, and I can take my socks off and wear my blue jeans and my shirt untucked and get up here and have a little dialogue. Well, I could do it. It's going on everywhere. But my Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Not of dialogue, but of preaching. And we need some leather-lung preachers again. We need some men that will stand up and declare what thus saith the Lord. And that's preaching. God's word. We need preachers again. There's not many gospel churches. There's not many preaching churches in our day. Now, there are some, don't take me wrong, they've not all closed the doors and they've not all turned the book over. And there's a lot more out there sometimes than I think we give credit for. But we need to be a preaching church. Not only do we need to be a preaching church, dear friends, I want you to know we need to be a praying church. If we're going to be the kind of church everybody needs to be a part of, we need to be a praying church. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, back in our text this morning, and verse number 42. Says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. God's given us the privilege of prayer. Look, prayer can move mountains. Prayer can change lives. Prayer can mend broken families and broken hearts. Prayer is one of the most powerful things that this world has ever known. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says men ought always to pray. And I believe Christian people are to be a praying people. And I believe the right kind of church, if the church is going to be the right kind of church, is to be a praying church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says pray without ceasing. We need to learn to pray. We need to be a people of prayer. We're too busy to pray in our society. We've got to get back to being a prayerful people. You can pray at any moment of the day. Do you realize that you don't have to get on your knees and you don't have to close your eyes? Now, I like doing that. I like to bow before my Father. I like to show reverence. But I can be driving down the road and praying. Now, in Tampa, you better be. Because if you're not praying, man, it's going to be bad news. But we can pray. We have to come back as a church to prayer. We've started these Sunday night prayer meetings at 5:40. Well, our church needs to be called back to praying. There used to be a day when people would call on the church and say, would you pray for me? And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. When they did, they expected something to happen. And any more people just flippantly says, will you pray for me? Just pray for me. And then we'll say, I'll be praying for you. And sometimes it's the last we think about it. I talk to somebody on the phone and I say, I'll be praying for you, I try to hang up right then and pray. Lord, be with this. But we need to be people of prayer. Prayer will move mountains. Prayer will win neighborhoods to Christ. Prayer will open doors to the person that we work with and the person that we see at the store, this person and that person. That's what prayer does. Every failure, somebody said, I believe it was Dr. Rice said, every failure is a prayer failure. That's so true, isn't it? Every failure is, because if we're praying right, God's directing us right, and we will not fail. We will not fail. I want you to notice what the Bible says in the Old Testament, Psalm 116, if you'll look with me. Psalm 116, verse number 1. The psalmist says, I love the Lord. I like how that starts. It's great. You know, you just start a conversation. When you start a conversation, you say, I love the Lord. You ever done that? You just go up to somebody, something great just happens. You know, there's been times I've went home and I've looked at Jody and said, boy, I love the Lord. We'll have one of those services here, and you just can't help. You talk, I love the Lord. And that's how he starts this. This psalm starts out, I love the Lord. And then he says, here's why. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know what the psalmist is saying? God hears my prayer. I love the Lord because he hears me. He hears my voice. He hears my supplication. And because of that, I'm just going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on calling. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep talking with my Lord. Dear friends, we need to understand that God has given us an avenue of prayer, the privilege of prayer, that we might be able to speak to a thrice holy God. I'm telling you, at any moment, of any hour, of any day, there is a God in heaven that is seated on his throne with his ear bent low, ready to hear the prayers of his children. I don't have to go through some wild circumstance. I don't have to poke and prod myself. I don't have to stick needles through my body at any moment of any day. I can get down on my unworthy knees and I can cry out, Father, and he'll say, what do you want, son? I'm telling you, we have a relationship with the Lord that's unlike any other relationship this world ever knows. We have a power that's up in heaven that is, we're bridling it up, but it is an unbridled power that if we'll get back into our closets and pray, and as a church we'll get together and pray, we're going to see not what man can do, but what God can do. And when we begin to see what God can do, we'll sit back and wonder. And you know what we're going to say? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Oh, because of that, I'm just going to call upon him as long as I live. I love the Lord. That's what happens when we're a praying church. Let's not get too busy to pray. Let's make sure that we're a praying people. And you may not be able to make it to our prayer rooms that we're having on these Sunday evenings, but be praying all the time. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. What is it the psalmist said? At evening and morning and noon, I'll call upon the Lord. Evening and morning and noon, I'll call upon the Lord. We ought to have time set aside to pray. Well, I'm going to preach on prayer tonight, so I better stop now. But we need to be a praying church. You know what this world needs? A preaching church and a praying church. You know what this community needs? A preaching church and a praying church. What else? There's more. If we're going to be the kind of church that everyone needs to be a part of, not only do we need to be a preaching church and a praying church, I'm going to tell you what else. We need to be a practicing church. We need to practice what we preach. Amen? When I say a practicing church, I'm talking about reaching the lost. We ought to practice what the Bible teaches us. You know, it's one thing for the preacher to get up and preach, but it's another thing for us to practice what we've heard preach. It's another thing to go out and to do God's will. Notice what the Bible says back in our text in Acts chapter number 2. They that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Bible goes on and says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold the possessions, goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread and from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. This is what happened, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You notice what the Bible says? The Bible says this was a church that was practicing. It was practicing what they had learned. The Bible says in verse 41, they that received His word were baptized. Well, first of all, after you get saved, the first command is to follow the Lord in baptism. I'm going to say this to you, and I believe on the authority of God's word. If you have been saved, but you have not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you have not gone any further in your Christian life. It was very quiet. You say, why? Because it's the first step of obedience after salvation. They received His word. They were saved. Then they were baptized. Then what did they do? They joined the church. And they were added unto them. Added unto who? Unto this group of people. Unto this New Testament church. That's what this was. This was a gathering. Boy, I'd be good. I'd take 3,000 one day. Wouldn't you? I don't know where we'd put them. I guess I'd have to preach 10 times a day. It's all right with you, sister. I'd do it. I could only preach once a month. I'd lose my voice. But we need to be a practicing church. These were people. They received the word. They were baptized. They joined the church. And then what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread, fellowship, and prayers. They practiced, didn't they? They put to practice what they were taught in the Bible. What else happened? They went down there. The Bible says there was fear. The people feared them. The people around. You know what happens? When you are a practicing church, when we are a practicing church, people says they got something. There's something different. That's what this community needs. That's what this city needs. That's what our country needs. A church that practices what the Bible says. And as we practice it, it'll affect other people's lives. By the way, where do we practice it? Practice it at home? Well, first, you come here to get the instructions, right? And you get it through your daily devotions, daily devotional life. But then you practice it at home. You practice it at work. You practice it at the grocery store. You practice it at Walmart? Oh, yes. Walmart. You know what? You can lose your spirituality at Walmart. Every Walmart, I can never talk to anybody that can speak my language. Now, I'm not against people of other languages. It's just sometimes it's got that sign, how may I help you? Or ask me whatever it is that they wear on their back, and I ask. And then they can't hardly talk to me. And I'm like, I just like to, somebody tell me, you know, because I don't go to Walmart very much. And so when Jody says, will you stop at the store and go, what takes her 30 minutes takes me 2 hours. I need help. You know, I can't find things. She knows exactly where things are. My mom is the Walmart lady. I wish she were here. I would tell you this. You know, back in Kingsport, it was funny. I always said, they would go places and see different churches, and they'd say, oh, this is back when I was younger, before I was married, And they went everywhere that I would preach. And I mean, I preached somewhere every Sunday. Sunday morning and Sunday night, I wasn't pastoring. I was just preaching everywhere. Man, I loved it. It was so much fun going and preaching as a young man and having all that. But I'd go in and they'd say, "Oh, you're Brother Shelton's mom and dad, right?" And they'd say, "Yeah, blah, blah, blah." Well, it got to the point, I told my mom, I said, "I go into Walmart." And they say, "Oh, you're Louise's son, aren't you?" Some of y'all will get that about 12 o'clock tomorrow, and you'll break out laughing. "Oh, she's there so much." And my son is loving me right now for telling one of my true, it was a true story, it wasn't a joke. Not really. It wasn't true. Nobody's ever said you're Louise's son at Walmart. But we need to be a praying people. We need to be a practicing people. We need to be a preaching people. We need to practice these things because it's the way that God has given to us. The Lord commands us to go. It's God's plan. I'm not talking about an act of desperation. And you know, a lot of churches are doing it as an act of desperation. We got to knock on doors. Statistics say if we knock on 100 doors, we'll get one family. There's no equations in God's plan. There's no statistics. The Bible says, go. End of story. If we knock on 1,000 doors and we don't get one convert, we don't get one family, we still have to go because that's what the Bible says. And we've got to practice what the Bible says. Not an act of desperation, but an act of desire. And we ought to desire to do what God wants us to do. So a practicing church practices in the evangelization of the lost. That's what I've just talked about. And secondly, in the enlisting laborers. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 9, verse 37 and 38, the Bible says, "Then saith he," the Lord Jesus, "then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The Bible teaches us in the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission or the Great Command. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." And then he gives this promise, "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So the Bible says we are to go to teach, that means to give them the gospel, to baptize, that means after they hear the word and receive the word, and to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. In other words, we're to be laborers for our Lord. And the Bible says as we labor and pray, as we labor for others, we're to pray for more laborers. The harvest is plenteous. Look out at the fields. They're white. They're there for the plucking, if you will. You say, who is? All these people that need Jesus. Who needs Jesus? Everybody. Some of them pretty well stuck to the vine of the world, and it may not happen right off the bat. But you just keep sowing and watering and planting, God will give the increase. But we have to practice these things. We have to go, teach, baptize, teach, pray for laborers, be a laborer. And we have to equip the saints. So we evangelize, we enlist, and we equip. Verse 44, Acts chapter number 2. If you'll go back there with me. The Bible says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." That's what happens to the kind of church that everybody needs to be a part of, is we start finding that common ground. In this church, there's all kinds of different personalities. Right? Oh, look. There's people in here that's quiet. There's people in here that's loud. There's people in here that says very few words, and there's some people that never is hardly quiet. You say, who are you talking about? You probably know who you are. I don't have to say. There's some people that have a boldness and there's some people that have meekness. But in Christ, we have something in common. They had all things common. Notice what the Bible says. We care about one another. We should. You look around and you see a person that loses a brother and you want to cry with them. You see somebody that's going through the battle for their life and taking chemo week after week after week. And every time you see them, you're just thrilled, but in your heart, you're thinking, how difficult this must be. You hear about someone sick miles away, and it's somebody that this person loves, and you talk. You have all things common. See, we come together. It's a practicing church. That's what we're to be. There's people that have different languages. We got people that speak different languages here. I imagine, Miss Emily, you speak French? French? Other languages besides French and English? Other languages? Spanish? Who speaks another language? Anybody speak any other language? I'm bilingual. I speak English and hillbilly. I can do hillbilly as good as anybody. I just try not to anymore. I've worked at it real hard over the years. When my wife met me, this is how I always talked, you know? But we have different languages, but we have one thing common. That's Christ. That's a practicing church, is we can come together in the Spirit of God. If we're going to be the kind of church that everybody needs to be a part of, we need to be a preaching church, and we need to be a praying church, and we need to be a practicing church. And then finally, I know this is the eternal message. I'm like the big fella going through the barbed wire fence. Just a few more points and I'll be through. Some of y'all get that tomorrow too. We need to be a praising church. A praising church. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 47, Acts chapter 2. Praising God and having favor with all the people. This is the result. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When it talks about praising the Lord, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're running the aisles and your hair's flopping out of your bobby pins. It means you're lifting up the Lord. That's praising the Lord. It's lifting Him up. By the way, there have been times when you get so full you can't help it. You just want to go, I want to thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. I like that. It's wonderful. But a praising church is one that talks about and lifts up the Lord. I love what the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas were in jail. Everything looked gloom and doom around them. I'm telling you, they were in the inner jail cell. They were in a cell inside of a cell. I mean, I'm telling you, these people at Philippi, they were scared to death of Paul and the power that he had and the things that were happening around him, the lives that were being changed. They were terrified of all that was going on, and so they cast him into jail because he wouldn't quit doing what it was that he was doing. And the Bible teaches us that they were bound up in the fetters and in the chains, and they were in that inner cell. But the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. There he is. That old Paul. He's in jail. There's other prisoners in jail too. They're over there saying, I don't need to be here. I didn't do it. None of them ever does it, you know. I didn't do it. I don't deserve this. Paul looks over at Silas and said, hey, let's sing about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Now, that wasn't a song back then, so don't quote me on that. Let's sing some of the Psalms. They probably went to those Psalms where it says, the Lord will deliver me. Hey, Silas, let's sing. And they begin to pray and to sing, and it got good. The Bible says that the jail began to shake, and there was an earthquake. And the Bible says the jail fell down to the ground, and the fetters fell off. Paul and Silas and all the prisoners were free to go. And the jailer comes to himself and says, they've escaped, they'll take my life. And he takes out a sword, ready to take his own life. And as he draws back, the jailer draws back to take his own life, Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. See, the miracle to me is not that the jail crumbled, not that the chains and fetters fell off, and not even that Paul and Silas were there, but that they were all there. Now, we don't know everything that happened. We know what happened that night to the Philippian jailer. He got saved and his family got saved. That's a good story, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there was an impact on all those other prisoners because they could have ran. But they knew. They heard Paul and Silas praying and praising God. And they knew better than to run. And they were all there. And I'm convinced it was through what they heard of these two godly men and what they were saying to the Lord and as they were singing to the Lord. Look, you want to make an impact where you work, where you live, where you shop. Be a person that talks about the Lord. Learn to praise the Lord. Learn to go into your workplace and say, boy, the Lord met with us yesterday. Talk to your neighbor and say, hi, let me tell you what happened to church. You say, well, what did happen? Nothing was said. But we heard the word. Did God stir your heart? Tell people about it. People need to know that God's still working. Oh, we need this. We need to love to talk about the Lord. The psalmist teaches us so much about praising the Lord. We're not going to look at all that. But this morning, may the Lord help us to see that if we're going to be the kind of church that everybody needs to be a part of, when people come through the doors of this church, I want them to find a church that is a preaching church. Amen? A praying church. I want them to know that we're praying for them. A practicing church. It's not just when we get here and we meet together that we do the things we do, but we go out and practice these things. And then a praising church. And I think we ought to praise Him in our services, but I think we ought to praise Him outside of our services. When we come down to the end of it all, that's what a New Testament church is. Preaching and praying and practicing and praising. Church is a building. It's not a building. It's individuals. Somebody said this morning, I'm looking for East Sly. I think Brother Chris said, is this East Sly? Pointed to the building. This isn't. If this church building were to burn down today, East Sly Avenue Baptist Church would still go forward. Because the church is the people. And when people come in, we're trying our best. We're wanting to beautify that. Look, if we could redo a lot of things, we'd redo a lot of things. This is something we could do to make our sanctuary more beautiful. It looks good. I love it. It's going to look a lot better when it's done. You know? But it looks good. But this is a building. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing you see does make an impact. But I've had many people come to me and tell me this. When we first came, we saw the congregation was older. Sorry, that's just how it is. And we saw there wasn't a whole lot of kids. I said, but the people made us feel so welcome. Isn't that what it's about? The people is the church, not the building. The people. And we need to be that kind of church that when people come in, they sense there's something different about this people. And there's some people that's going to be coming in, they're going to be looking for everything in the world. And they're not going to be looking at the people. They're going to be looking for the activities, for the programs, for the entertainment, for the wild music. But I'm going to tell you something, even wherever they find that at, that's not the church. The church is the people. And they need to find out, does that church line up with the Bible? See, a building can't do any of this. A building can't preach. A building can't pray. A building can't practice. And a building can't preach. But we can. We can. May the Lord help us. Father, we thank You for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious word. I pray, Lord,